You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by Northside Bible Church.
Good morning. Scripture readings in Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 through 14. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. And now, Heavenly Father, we pray that you'd add your word, your blessing to the reading of your word, because we do ask it in Christ's name for his sake. Amen.
Let's open up with prayer and we'll get started. Father, we pause now to study your Bible. We thank you for the time we can set aside to do that. We thank you that we have the freedom, each one of us individually, to approach your word and to study it. Lord, we know that with that freedom comes responsibility. And the responsibility each one of us has to grow up and get to know you better. And you've given us the freedom, and we know that we, with that responsibility, need to study to be approved in your sight. We pray that this lesson would glorify your Son. And we thank you for what he's done for us, for it's in Christ's name we pray, for his sake. Amen. Well, the scripture reading today was Philippians 2, 12 through 16. I thought of this verse last week. I believe it was last week that Derek taught on Acts 17. He's traveling for the next 9 days, so he asked me to fill in. But he taught, when he read the scripture reading in Acts 17, he never got there. He got stuck in Acts chapter 16, which I thought was a pro, in Acts chapter 16, verse 20 through 34. Well, as he went through that, and it was a great lesson. If you didn't hear it, if you weren't here, please go to the website and listen to that lesson. It was very encouraging. It was, you know, mostly of the sovereignty of God and the free will of man. How God is sovereign, and he knows the end from the beginning. He knows every outcome, and he's planned appropriately. But yet he's given us free will that we might be able to choose to what we do. And I talked in our prayer about freedom, the freedom we have to approach the scripture. And I was trying to explain to Carter the other day, as we were discussing obedience in a not-so-pleasant light, that, you know, we've given him certain responsibilities. And with those certain freedoms, and with those freedoms come responsibilities. If he's free to go outside and play outside, he's responsible to do certain things, like come in on time or tell us if he's going to go somewhere. If he's going to open up the fridge in the garage and get a soda pop, that he can't just leave it half empty sitting on the garage floor. And these things don't work. And as you keep continuing, as we continue to find these cans, you know, we explain how the fridge will, you know, freedom will be gone. Well, how simple that lesson is, but yet, in our own lives, when we find adversity, or when we're given freedom, how do we approach that adversity? We're free to approach it and praise God, or we're free to approach it and have many murmurings and whinings and wah, wah, wah. Well, I'm here to tell you, for the last 2 months, I've been the latter. I've been a person at war with this very thought. I've been a person at war with, woe is me, what is up, what is going on here? And I'd like to share it with you, and I'd like to also, as we see our scripture reading in Philippians 2, 14, do all things without murmurings and disputings. Do everything without complaining is what the NIV says, but here, without murmuring and disputing, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke. But in verse 16 there, it says, holding forth the word of life. See, if you do things with murmurings and disputings, you're certainly not going to be holding forth the word of life. And in verse 15, it talks about that word of life is what gives you that light that lets you shine as lights in the world. You have an opportunity. You have the freedom to choose either to be a witness or to be shipwrecked. Well, when I read this passage in Philippians a long time ago, I wrestled with work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And I knew that this didn't equate. You know, work out my own salvation. Well, I knew, according to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, that it's by grace am I saved through faith, not of myself. It's a gift of God. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. I knew that. So I thought, well, what is Philippians trying to tell me about working out my own salvation? I remember a conversation I had with Pastor McLean about this verse. I don't remember what setting. But in his loving way, you know, he's like, work it out. You just got to work it out, you know. And he explained to me that this was not salvation in the sense of saving our souls from sin, but it's the attitude in which you are approaching whatever challenge is given to you that day. And this summer's been full of challenges, hasn't it? It's absolutely been full of challenges. And the challenges that I've faced this last few months really is nothing compared to what, like, Paul and Silas faced in Acts chapter 16. Why don't we go there? Acts 16, chapter 20. This is where Derek was talking about in his lesson. But I'm going to pick up the verses, and I'm going to look at it from a little bit different perspective, because here we have in Acts 16, 20, the magistrates or the leaders at the time brought Paul and Silas in front of them and accusing them of causing exceeding trouble in the city. And the multitude rose up in verse 22, and the magistrate ripped their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. And Derek's lesson went on and talked about the jailer and the choices the jailer made. And that jailer who received such a charge put them in the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. Well, that night, Paul and Silas really were grumpy. And they sat there and said, well, what is up with this? Can you believe what? Here we're out praising God. I can't believe this job isn't fun anymore. I'm moving on. Well, that's not what they said. Here in verse 25 at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed. And what did they do? They sing praises unto God. And remember, we saw in Philippians 2, holding forth the word of life? The prisoners heard them singing praises unto God. Now here's a group that, you know, it's like, I don't know what's up with Paul and Silas, because they're certainly not built the way I am. Because they're sitting there singing praises unto God, and here I'm given a few challenges, and I'm sitting around going, you know, well, I can't believe it, you know. What is up with this? I'll give you an example of this summer. It was about June 1st, where it was pretty made clear to me that the company that I worked for was no longer going to exist. Now, it just so happened that in the world of technology right now, about every company is really doing poorly. So poorly that people are being laid off. I mean, I think it was in the month of May that I knew that there were about 40,000 people laid off in Silicon Valley alone. And here I was told that basically, that's it, no more. So for the entire month of June, I'm looking for a job. Full force. Head down, emails, phone calls. My gosh, I'm going to find a job. Because, you know, I've never been in this situation. Well, I've been recruited everywhere I've been. Surely people want me as fast as possible. I'm a Pharisee of the Pharisees, a Hebrew, right? Sound familiar? I have risen to the heights of heights. I am techie. People want me. And every time the phone rang, it was Leland asking for help on his computer. And every time the email gave a little chirp in your inbox, it was some Macy's ad because I'd bought something there 20 years ago, you know. It was goose eggs. And the pressure started building. What was I going to do? It was so apropos that I would get emails from headhunters who I knew, would once they saw my resume, knew I was techie, I was worthy. Why, I can't believe you don't have three companies knocking down your door presently to bring you on board. And I have one, I'm just going to have to frame it, because here's this person living in California somewhere. I've never met them. They heard of me. They sent an email, and they sung praises the first paragraph. Your resume is fabulous. Your capabilities are awesome. Paragraph 2. Too bad you live in Oklahoma. Time and time again, people told me, I had no need for you in Oklahoma. Well, this has never been a problem for me. So, Lord, What are you trying to tell me? Well, in the meantime, it's time to move my mother into her new home. Now July comes about. Now, that was June. Pressure cooker starting to build. July comes along, and we're getting Mom moved in her new home. The very week we do that, a fleet of skunks, I don't know what, a fleet of skunks decide to teach us more lessons about life and just flat destroy her new home. You could fight war with skunks, let me tell you. You could strap a skunk to a bomb, you could drop them, and they would surrender in 2 months, I guarantee it. We have done everything to make her house, her new home, pleasurable, but yet the essence of skunk is still there. If you smelled it this morning, it's probably her who came in with essence of skunk. In the meantime, I'm sitting there just saying, okay, so we've got to prepare for church camp. And things are starting to happen, so I'm taking some of my clothes over to get ready for the estate sale, because Mom's going to have an estate sale, so we're helping with that. So we get over there, taking some of our old clothes over to the estate sale. And I walk in the house, and the hallway gave a squish-squish as I went back and put some clothes. And sure enough, the furnace or the coil in the furnace, I don't air conditioner basically, leaked water all over the house. So I was the joy of calling Mom and saying, guess what? The furnace or the water's leaking. So Mother took the high road and she said, well, praise God, and she was singing a spiritual song. Yeah. So I had great leadership in my family that taught me well on how to do these things in tough times. So yet, I'm like, okay, And I remember a conversation. Mom looked at me one time. She was over one night. This was before the bronchitis and the other things I'm going to get to. But she looked at me and she said, is God trying to tell me something? And I looked at her and I said, you know what, Mom? Everybody has their set of problems. I have mine, you have yours, and we just got to work through them. And that's what this verse is talking about. We've got to work through them. Every one of us has our set of problems. There is nobody immune to that. What we have, though, is the opportunity to do all things without murmurings and disputings. We have the opportunity to be a light in the world. We have an opportunity to hold forth the word of life and to sing songs just like they did in jail here, because the prisoners heard them. And you know what? The people around you are going to hear how you handle that. So, I quoted that to her, and I thought I was a spiritual stud. So it wasn't over. So now we have broken water in her old house. And my little niece, Morgan, flew into town to go to a basketball camp. So we deliver her to camp. And at that same day, Mom's now skunk problem has caused her to have bronchitis. So the doctor tells her to get out of the new home. So now we're bringing Mom into our house. So we shuffle Mom over, sick as she is, and sit her on our couch. Now it was a Monday, and I'm at the office, and I'm just trying to find a job. Can I please just get to the office to try and find a job? I get a call that little Morgan is at the emergency room at Mercy, because on the first day of camp, Monday, she had broken her ankle. And they had tried to call home, but our phone lines were broken. They weren't working. So I rush to the hospital and pick her up. She's kind of got some of her wits together. So I get her in the car, and I get her to her house. So we got Mom sick with bronchitis on one house, and I got my niece with a broken ankle on the other. And I'm just trying to find a job. Can I just do that? And now it's getting ready to be camp time. And that's the last thing I want to do is prepare for that camp. That camp was daggum square, right in the middle, in the way. Not want to be there, not good to. And here I go, preparing for camp. And I remember how frustrated I was. And I'm like, God, what are you trying to tell me? I started asking the same question. And camp came around. And what a blessing it was. And it's amazing every year how I forget this lesson. But for me, camp isn't for the kids. Camp was for me. Because I went through that camp, and then I realized man, this is all bunk. And I came out of camp with a fresh attitude. Because you know what? I got back to the Word of God. And I was teaching it. And I was looking at it. And it's amazing, when you spend time focusing on the Bible, all these other things just diminish and completely go down. Well, in the 5 weeks' time there, we got Mom moved out. We had the estate sale. We closed on our house. And on July 31st, she was in her new house. We just closed. The estate sale was done, and I had two job offers in my hand on that very day. And I tell you, for the month of July, I wasn't even looking. I was busy doing, it seemed like anything else, from, you know, fixing Leland's problem to a skunk problem, to a water problem. And oh, by the way, I forgot to tell you that I had to call Mike out because my car was stuck on. I couldn't get it turned off. Thank you, Mike. That would save me on that one. Because one of the times I went over to Mom's house, I couldn't turn the car off because the key was stuck on. Thank God I had a full tank of gas. I said, okay, fine. I just left it running. I said, it'll be cool when I come back out, and if somebody takes it, praise God, I get a new car. So I left it running, and I went in. We did something in the old house, came back out, and the car was nice and cool. Met Mike at home. I just sat in the car waiting for him. Kathy went to the grocery store, and she came back, and I'm just still there. Like, what is happening to me? That is such a small, small thing. All those things are just bumps, just little nits. And it's all about training me to say, hey, it's your attitude when you approach and you work these things out. There might be some fear, there might be some trembling, but the bottom line is I have a choice to do everything without murmuring and disputing, because it's a testimony, just like Paul did in Acts chapter 16. Have you been there? Have you had those challenges? Paul had every reason to be bummed out. How many times was he in this circumstance? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20. He says he's an ambassador for Christ. Aren't you? When you talk to people and you've met them before and you find out that they are Christians, you know, you might say, what church you go to? I go to this church, or I go to that. But irrespective of denomination, we're ambassadors for Christ. If you're a member of the body of Christ, you are an ambassador. And you have the opportunity now, you have the free choice to take anything that's thrown at you and to use it as an opportunity to witness. 2 Corinthians 5:20, now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. See, for he made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. We then, as workers together with him, beseech you that you also receive not the grace of God in vain. Verse 3, giving no offense in anything that the ministry be not blamed, but in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in what? Afflictions, in necessities, in distress, in stripes, in imprisonments, and in tumults, can't even say it, in labors, in watchings, in fastings, and I haven't had too many of those, by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, and by love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well-known, as dying and behold we live, as chastened and not killed, and sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing, and yet possessing all things. He knows how to be abased, he knows how to be abound. This Paul always took the worst and made it a light because he had the word of truth, and he focused on that. No matter what challenge was given to him, and no matter what circumstance. In 2 Corinthians 11, verse 22 and 23, really, verse 24, here's Paul. He says in 23, he said, are they ministers of Christ? I'm more. In labors, more abundant. In stripes, I'm above measure. In prison, I'm more frequent. In death, often. Of the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes, save one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and day I've been in the deep. In journeys, often in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, and watching often, in hunger and thirst, and fasting often, in cold and nakedness. This guy goes on and on. You just read this list and you go, how much smaller does your problem seem? I sure have not even come close to this. Yet I still am quick to murmur, quick to go wham, wham, wham. Yet it took camp and the focus on the Word of God to bring me out of it, just like that. And I came through all that, and yet, and here I have opportunities presented to me better than before. He is able to deliver thee. And at times I'm ashamed of my attitude. Paul said in Philippians 3:4, he says, though I might have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinks he's half thereof, in the trust I more. He talked about the fact that his credentials here are tremendous, but he counted all things in verse 7. Philippians 3:7, but that things gained to me I count loss for Christ. I count all things loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. So in church camp this year, the theme was based on Proverbs 20:11. Even a child is known by his doings, whether his work be pure, whether it be right. What about grown-ups? Or the old Star Trek, what about the grups? What about the grown-ups, huh? If a child's actions are a witness to onlookers, how much more than a the grown-up's actions to a testimony to our faith? Do we set our affections on the things above or below? We know as Christians, we're to shine as light in the world. We're to hold forth that word of life. We can't hold it forth if we don't have it in our hearts. And the way we have it is we read it, pray, and we fellowship. We have the freedom to approach it daily. We have the freedom to choose how we're going to handle our problems, because we all have them. So let this be encouragement that it may get worse, it may get better. But whether you ride the wave up or down, praise God all the way. So let's end in prayer. Father, we just thank you for trials and tribulations, because, Lord, these are the times that it makes us appreciate you better. Makes us realize that we need to quit putting our affections on things below and put them on the things above. And as we study your word and we have it hidden in our heart, these things diminish in problems. Problems become contextually where they need to be, not consuming our every thought, but the fact that you died for us and are seated in the heavenlies as our mediator, that you have reconciled us to God. But now we have an opportunity and the freedom to choose how we handle these things, that we might be a light and a witness and a testimony to your Son, Christ Jesus. We pray and encourage that each one of us would choose to do so, to give glory to your Son, Christ, for it's in his name we pray, for his sake. Amen.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions at rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.